update.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to What Would Kay Say? I am your host, Kay Edwards. How are God's blessed, highly favored, fearfully, and wonderfully made people doing today? Woohoo! I'll tell you how we're doing. We are forgiven. We are righteous because we have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. And most of all, we are loved by God. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? Today, we're going to talk about the most important event in the history of mankind. No, I'm not talking about when man walked on the moon. And no, I'm not talking about when you found both of your socks in the dryer after you did the wash. Because we know that would be an important feat, because how do socks get lost in the dryer? Anyway, I digress. What we're going to talk about is the pinnacle of God's love demonstrated through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, that's something to get excited about, right? And that is the most important event in the history of mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. So today's topic is, he did it. Right? He did it. God's willingness to forgive and show mercy to humanity, despite our shortcomings, is the greatest expression of love. And God did this because he desired to have a personal relationship with each of us. Now, think about that. A personal relationship with each of us? Some of us don't even want to have a personal relationship with ourselves. So just imagine you in your worst form, the nastiest attitude, the most arrogant, prideful disposition. He still wants to have a relationship with you. And Jesus stated this in his promise that he would always be here with us. He said, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Matthew 28:20. But Jesus also gave us a promise in John 14:1-6. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also." "That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." So Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Blessed is the reading of the word of the Lord. No one comes through the Father except through me. He said that. He said that he was the door to the Father, and that was the reason for his coming. While, yes, when he was here, he healed, he taught, he instructed, but for the most part, he came so that he could die on the cross to be that lamb's blood for our sins. He went down to hell and defeated death so that we could have eternal life. And then he rose again with all power and authority to return it back to us so we could be in our right standing, so that we could have dominion and authority over the earth like we were supposed to back in Genesis, right? We talked about this. When Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of sin over our life. Think about that. Think about how impactful an act like that was. The death of one man, he was able to return all of us, every walking, breathing human being, back to right standing with God. And when you really, really, really think about that and the impact that it has on so many lives, it's just so much to wrap your head around, right? The fact that Satan no longer has a hold on you or me. And see, that's the part that we need to remember when we think about this. Satan is no longer in control of our lives. Whereas before, when Adam and Eve did what they did, Satan had the authority because they gave it to him. But when Christ died on the cross, he took all the authority back. So Satan can't control your life. We walk in the freedom that Christ regained for us, right? So let me tell you just how much power we received from Christ when he died on the cross, and why it's so important for us as Christians today. And this is what we need to think about all the time. If we keep that in the in the front of our mind as we go through our daily lives, it makes everything so much easier because you're not coming in defeated. You don't have to feel defeated because you're not, because you're a winner. You're a winner because he already won the battle. So we're going to take a look at Matthew 27, 51 to 54. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the grave, after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Listen, listen. The veil of the temple was torn. The veil, or as some refer to it as the curtain, was the separation between heaven and earth. So we're going to go back in Genesis because, see, Genesis is where everything started. So when you want to get a full understanding of why things are what they are, you have to start from the beginning. You always have to start from the beginning. You know how when you go to tell somebody a story and you're like, they're like, "Well, what happened?" And you start telling the story and they're like, "Wait, hold up. I can't keep up." Start from the beginning. You can't get the full essence of a story unless you start from the beginning. So that's why we're going to go back to Genesis 1, 6, and 7. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Now, firmament. The firmament was the veil. It was what separated heaven from earth. And this is how God made the division between us and his holy place, the place where all his secrets lie. Well, they're not secrets to him because he knows all, but they're secrets to us. They're mysteries to us because he doesn't reveal everything to us. So just think about it. When God created the heavens and the earth, right? He created the heavens and the earth. He separated where we were, where Adam and Eve was from where he was, right? There was that separation in there. And he would come and visit them, right? So the veil, which, like I said, was also known as the curtain, also led to the entryway into the holies of holies in the tabernacle, right? And now the holies of holies was an inner sanctuary of the tabernacle. Now this is where the Ark of the Covenant resided. And if you've been doing your reading of the Bible in a year, or just doing any type of reading of the Bible itself, you will get a breakdown of what the Ark of the Covenant is. Maybe one show I'll do a breakdown of the Ark of the Covenant. But just for today, I just want to tell you, the veil was in the tabernacle. It came down. It covered the inner sanctuary where the Ark of the Covenant resided. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was the Shekinah glory, the presence of God. That was God's presence when he dwelt with the people of Israel in the Old Temple. In the Old Testament, right? They used to carry around the Ark of the Covenant with them. And if you've read Samuel, you'll know that the Philistines had stole the Ark of the Covenant from the Israelites. And when they stole it, they had so many plagues and they had so many bad things that happened to them because they stole God. They literally stole God. And God was like, "No, we ain't having this. You're not gonna just steal me from my people." So that all these things came on them till they actually gave it back to the Israelites. They was like, "Look, take this. We don't even want this anymore because it's just causing us a whole lot of headache." But anyway, Now, when you think about it, the Ark of the Covenant, right, with the veil over it, right? Now it gives us a better understanding of why Christ, his dying on the cross, was so powerful and so significant. Because Christ came so that his death tore the veil. His flesh being crucified on the cross was the tearing of the veil. So there was no longer a separation between God and us. Jesus is the bridge between God and man. Jesus is God with us. Like the Ark of the Covenant was God in the Old Testament to the Israelites. Now you understand. Now it gives you a better understanding of why it was so important for Christ to come. Because we needed to have that connection back to God. And it can only be done through a sacrifice, right? It could only be done through a sacrifice, and it could only have been done through the shedding of blood. Because we talked about this. We talked about this, how the Israelites had a Day of Atonement, which is their Yom Kippur. And that's when everybody came and they brought whatever it is that they had to bring for the punishment of their sins. And if you look back in, I think it's in Exodus, or it might be after, it might be in Numbers, where what's his name? Moses, what's his name? I got some nerve, right? Moses had the snake on top of the pole, and that was also supposed to, you know, help the people be rid of their sins. God had given them so many different ways in the Old Testament to rid themselves of sin, to purify themselves in order to be able to connect back to him. And now, mind you, with the tabernacle, everybody couldn't go up in that tabernacle. When you had to lay your sacrifice and give it to God, only the priest, the high priest, were allowed to go into the tabernacle. Anybody else that walked in there or even thought about touching anything in that tabernacle died right on the spot. Died right on the spot. See, so you don't just walk up in there any way you want. And that's another thing for us to keep in mind. When you think about it, back then, not everybody could just go and give their sacrifices to God. It had to be the high priest. But because Christ came as the sacrifice, the last sacrifice for us, we no longer need a priest to go for us before the Lord so that we can attain anything that God has for us. Christ was that sacrifice. So now, since the veil was torn, we're able to go freely to God ourselves. We no longer need that intermediate person because Christ was that sacrifice. He was that sacrifice that for everyone. So now, instead of me having three pigeons and you having a dove and this one having a cow and that one having 10 sheep. No, Christ, one man, God and man, died on the cross, shed his blood. So everybody, it was like everybody all at once. That was everybody's sacrifice all one time, whether I had my three pigeons or not. Everybody's sacrifice all one time, taken care of, connected back to God, cleansed of all your sins, meaning that you no longer have to walk around like you're unworthy, because you are worthy. You might not feel worthy, but you are worthy once you accept that his blood, his sacrifice has cleansed you. You're worthy. You don't have to worry about what the enemy tries to tell you, because he is going to try and tell you that you're not, you're always going to mess up, you're never going to be good enough, you're never going to rate to what he wants you to be. No, that's his story. That's not your story. Because Christ came to die for you, not for him. He's messed up. He can never get back. He can never get back. He's messed up so bad, he can never get back. And he wants to have company with him. But why should we keep him company? Because he's miserable. We don't want to keep him company. We want to go where everything's great. We want to go where everything's good. We want to be where God is, where everything is just everything, right? So when you think about it, just the whole, if you can't hold on to anything else, regardless of those voices you might be hearing or what people might be saying about you or what you might even be saying about yourself, because a lot of times we're talking to ourselves. It's not even somebody else talking to us, but we're just replaying everything that we've heard, everything that we've done, just constantly over. No, we don't have to do that. Once you repent, really feel sorry for everything. And some people are probably saying, feel sorry for what? I haven't done anything. Yes, when you were born, you were a sinner. Yes, as soon as you came out, you had already done something. You were born into this world in iniquity. Sorry, we all came through like that. We didn't have to do a thing. We were already guilty. But because of the blood that he shed, with us coming into this world as guilty, we also have the opportunity to say, okay, Christ, I understand you died for me. I know I came in here as a sinner, but I'm sorry, God, just accept me back to you. And there you have it. And there you have it. Just that simple. That simple, that easy, done. He paid the price, right? He paid the price. And what better gift could he have given us? Because we could have never, ever, 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 even having our best life here on earth, once we died, we would have been gone, separated from the Father forever. Now, when we die, we still go back to our Creator to live our life the way we were supposed to. And yes, Christ died here, as we talked about before, to give us that abundant life here on earth, because he doesn't just want us to be, thinking about heaven all the time. No, we still have to interact with people here. He had to interact with people here. When he came, he wasn't just always thinking about heaven. When he came, he interacted with people. He taught people. He healed people, because he knew we still had to walk in our bodies here on earth and interact with one another. But what he did is he showed us how to interact with one another. We didn't have to be so raw with each other all the time. We could sit down and have a conversation. We could sit down and have a meal together. We could not have to fight one another because we think somebody else has something more than what we have, because actually, the table is full. The store is open. All of us have access to get whatever we want, whenever we want, but you just have to go for it. You have to go for it. And that's what he showed us. That's exactly what he showed us. And through his blood, we're now able to have that connection back with God, to be able to talk to God, to be able to praise him, to thank him, because when you think about it, that's the reason why we were created, to give him praise, honor, and glory, right? So you have access to just bask in his love all the time. If no one else loves you, or if you feel no one else loves you, you know God loves you. You know Christ loves you, right? He loves you. So you don't have to worry about, not that you can't, but you don't have to worry about anything that anybody else is saying. But it's not to make you arrogant, like, oh, God loves me, so forget all of you. No, That's not the way you should look at it. It's like, yeah, God loves me and he loves you too. He loves all of us. He loves all of us. And that's the beauty of it all. If you come from a family with multiple siblings, right? If you have a lot of sisters and brothers, sometimes you're like, oh, our parents like this one better than the other one. Oh, they treat that one better than me. Or I never get what I'm supposed to have because they're always giving to that one. And you don't have to worry about that when it comes to God. You don't have to worry about that. Because you know what? When you see that only child and you always think, oh, they get everything because they're an only child, so they get everything. That's exactly the way God sees us. When he's dealing with us, we're his only child. He has millions of children, but when he deals with you, he makes you feel as if you're his only child. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You can be, if you come from a family of many siblings, you can look at yourself and say, you know what? I get treated like I'm an only child every day because God lavishes his love on me like I was his only child. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Isn't that a beautiful thing? And even when you think about it, everybody else thinks the same thing because God is dealing with them in the same way. But then now you're all in the same family. So if you're all in the same family and you all feel like you're his only child, everybody's happy because nobody's looking at the next one as, oh, well, he's giving you more than he's giving me, or I don't get this, or how come I don't get that? No. No. You can get whatever it is you want. You just have to ask for it. He gives you whatever it is you want in due time. Now, see, there's some stipulations with that too. And we'll go into that. But for today, we're just going to lavish in the fact that Christ went to the cross. He shed his blood to give us the connection back to the Father so we could live an abundant life here on earth until we get to heaven. So we say thank you, Lord Jesus, for going to the cross. We say thank you for tearing the veil and giving us back that connection. And with that, we're going to take a music break. You've been listening to What Would Kay Say here on Radio Free Brooklyn, What Brooklyn Sounds Like.
Your presence amazes me. Your glory surrounds me. When I walked in this room, I felt your hands upon me. To think how great you are. Touch someone like me. It's your mercy and grace. You amaze me. Your presence amazes me. Your hands upon me. To think how great you are. Still you touch someone like me. It's your mercy and grace. You amazes me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Your glory surrounds me. When I walked in this room, I felt your hands upon me. To think how great your mercy and grace. You amaze me, Lord. You amaze me, Lord. You amaze me, Lord. You amaze me. It's your mercy and your grace. You amaze me, Lord. Ooh, I love your presence, Lord. You amaze me, Lord. It's your mercy and your grace. You amaze me.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know my Redeemer lives. Very same God that spins things in orbit runs to the weary, the worn and the weak, and the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me victory.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. You have been listening to What Would Kay Say here on Radio Free Brooklyn. Now we are going to hear who sang the songs that we just listened to. Of course, you know, top of the hour, we started out with Making Changes by Grace. You then heard from Vicky Yohe, You Amaze Me. Anthem Lights sang the Easter Melody. And then Phillips, Craig, and Dean did Revelation Song. And we just heard from Gia Ware, Lord, You Are Welcome. And yes, Lord, You Are Welcome. Because it is now time for the part of the show that I call Op-Ed. So in Op-Ed, we're just going to continue praising God for His marvelous gift that He has given us. Because, listen, all power comes from the blood, okay? Just to speak the name of Jesus, demons tremble. Did you hear what I said? Not when you say, listen, because it's me talking. No, they looking at you like, who's that? But when you stand in what Christ did for you and you use His name, they back up, right? Because all power comes from the blood. And we learned this in the Passover. How many of you know the Ten Commandments? Not the ones that's just in the book, but I'm sure you saw the movie. They showed you right there in the Passover when the children of Israel, before they left Egypt, God told them to place the blood on the doorpost so that the death angel would pass over their house and just go and do what God sent him to do. It's the same blood that Christ shed is what covers us so that everything just passes over us as well, right? The power of the blood. And Isaiah 53 tells us, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned away, everyone, to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. So when you think about that, the emotions that we experience when we don't know what to do next. We have bills. We're lonely. We're uncertain of what life has for us. All those things that we feel, Christ felt them all. Christ felt all of them. God placed all of that on Him when He was on the cross. Because the Bible tells us, I just read it, that He was touched with all our infirmities. Jesus knows how we feel about everything. And all it took Him was 3 days to change everyone's life. He died on the cross. He rose from the grave. He took back authority so that we could live again. He gave us eternal life. So that's why He told us that we were going to have tribulations, but we could be happy about it because He overcame the world. He already did everything for us. We don't have to keep trying to reinvent the wheel. All we have to do is just walk in what He's already created for us. His blood has overcome it all. We're covered from sickness, grief, depression, confusion, insecurity, unworthiness. All our filthy rags are now clean because we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And all you have to do is accept Him because, like He said, He's the door. No one goes to the Father but through Him. And I can understand why He would say that. Yeah, if I laid down my life for everybody, if I had to feel the weight of everybody's, just think about this. Think about how powerful this is. You feel guilty when you do something. You do one thing, you feel guilty. There's people who now have done things from their past 20 years ago, and they're still feeling guilty for it. Could you imagine having to feel everyone's guilt put on you and you didn't do anything? Just think about when somebody wants to blame you and you know you're innocent. Somebody wants to blame you and you know you didn't do anything. You're like, oh, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Why I gotta pay the price? It wasn't me. He didn't do anything. He came here sinless and did not sin while he was here. Right? Because I'm sure there was plenty of temptations. He was human. He was walking around in human form, but he didn't do it. So just imagine the little bit of guilt that you feel for something that you did. Everybody's guilt. Multiply that guilt by a million, trillion. How that felt on him. And he took it all. So why are you walking around with that tiny little bit? And he carried all of that. He carried all of that. Washed us clean with his blood. And all we have to do is say, we believe you. You see how simple that is? Look how simple that is. All we have to say is, you know what, God? I do believe you. I believe that you did that for me. I believe that you did. Just believe. How simple is that? And people want to make this his whole big convoluted, oh my gosh, let's get rocket scientists in here. Let's do what was Einstein's theory of relativity. It don't take all that. All it takes is, Lord, I believe you and I thank you. I believe you. Yes, I was a sinner. But see, the pride in us, right? It's that pride. It was like, I ain't do nothing. I'm not a sinner. He ain't have to come for me. Blah, 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 blah. All that crap talking, that's what keeps people from having a blessed life. That's what keeps people from acknowledging that, you know what? Okay, yeah, he died for me because I was unworthy. I could never have done anything like that for myself. You know what? I thank you, God. I thank you. No, people don't want to say that. People don't even want to say thank you when you hold the door open for them. So you think they're going to admit that I didn't do anything. That pride, got to get rid of that pride. And once you get rid of that pride and recognize that you in and of yourself can do a thing, because regardless of what you think you're doing, you're really not doing anything. You're only doing what God allows you to do. Then you'll be able to walk in the blessings and the abundant life that he's provided for you through his blood. Then you will then understand why this is the greatest thing that has ever happened to mankind. And I say for that, hallelujah. All hail the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Because at that name, every knee shall bow. Even when you don't want to, you're going to bow. Just face it. One day, you will bow. But you might as well do it while you can and do it happily, right? You might as well just do it when it's like, hey, yeah, I'm happy for this. Rah, rah, yay, go, Jesus, go. Rather than be put in a situation where you're like, oh my God, I never thought I'd be brought to this. But you know, every man has their own road to walk. And with that, I say, that ends op-ed. We are coming to the end of the show. This show goes by so fast. But we're not at the end of the month yet. We are in the last day, but we still are holding on to our word of the month, which is repent. Yes, today, if you haven't repented, feel or express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sin, today's the day to do it. Today is the day to say, Lord, you know what? I am a sinner. I am no good. Let's just face it. We're no good. But because of the blood that was shed, Lord, I thank you for the blood that you shed on the cross for me to make me worthy, to make me good again. So now I can just live my life without all this burden and all this guilt and all this shame. I can just give it to you because you carried it anyway. And our promise for the week is John 11:25, Jesus said to her, now this is Jesus talking to Martha, because John 11:25 is right after Lazarus died. So Jesus and Martha was talking to him, you know, the whole story. Christ, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Blah, blah, blah. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And that reigns true for us today. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. When you believe in him, see what I said? Just simple. Just believe. Although you may die, because one day we're all going to die, but we also can live again if you believe in him. And I say with that, I want everyone to have a wonderful week. Enjoy the rest of your day. Just, you know, have a good time. Think about what I said, that the blood has power. The blood has power. You'd be surprised. You could be feeling away. And if you just say the blood of Jesus, sometimes I'm feeling a certain way. And if I just sit there and say the blood, but the blood of Jesus, everything just starts to leave. Because I told you, when they hear the name Jesus, when they think about the blood, demons flee. They are afraid. They don't want to mess with that blood. So if just the mention of his name can get things to leave you alone, why wouldn't you say it? Why wouldn't you say it? You should be walking around all day saying, Jesus, Jesus, Lord have mercy. That's all. If you can't say anything else, just say the name Jesus. That's all you have to do. How simple is that? And that's the wonderful, marvelous, awesome love that God has for all of us. He gave us the opportunity to just say the name Jesus and everything works out okay. So like in typical What Would Kay Say fashion, we are going to dance our way out of this because we just want to be, you know, happy, happy of everything that God has done for us. So I want you to have a blessed day, blessed week. And until God brings us back together again, peace. Everybody, you say, oh.